Adventures in Absurdity. Today, you are joined by just me. It's Hannah. And no one else showed up to recording, so I don't know what the deal is with that, but here we are. Probably not actually gonna post this, but I'm recording it as a joke. So if the sound quality is tragic, I'm so sorry. Hold more bumps. Emily, edit this out, please. So here we go. Today we were supposed to be talking about the episodes Train Ride and Cars, Trains, and Motorcycles. You know, nice little joke on the train thing. Pretty clever, if I do say so myself. I'm not actually the one who came up with that idea. Probably Emily came up with that idea, but I don't really remember. So anyway, Train Ride. Normally someone would read off the wiki summary, but I'm actually driving, so I should probably not do that. I'm just gonna make up a summary quick. Whit and Eugene are on their way back from some business in Chicago when some strange occurrences happen on their ride home, and Whit has a mystery to solve. That was a pretty bad summary, but you get the point. I didn't realize until I was listening to this episode today how much I could quote it. Like, I'm pretty sure I could quote almost the whole episode verbatim because I listened to it so much. It was on the Platinum Collection, which was by far my most listened to album when I was a kid. And there was this disc that had Train Ride, Real Time, which is the one where Whit gets stuck in the elevator with crying Brian Dern. And then it all happened at Four Corners, along with Bernard and Eugene and, like, the gold. So that was, like, this spooky, action-y, exciting disc on the album, and I listened to just that disc over and over and over so many times that I'm pretty sure the disc doesn't even work right anymore. I'm pretty sure it skips now. So, yeah, I know this episode quite well, although I hadn't listened to it in a while, so it was fun to re-listen to. This is so weird to not have anyone to bounce ideas off of. I feel like I'm just rambling. But, like, if I don't talk, no one else is going to, so. I hope you're enjoying this, Emily, in editing, if this ever gets edited. So, the episode. We start off hopping on the train with Whit and Eugene. They were doing some business in Chicago. Well, Whit was doing business. Eugene just tagged along, because he can. We also find out some interesting information about Odyssey's location from this episode, that being that Odyssey is somewhere on the way from Chicago to Cincinnati. Which is interesting, because that's kind of the route I'm driving right now. But anyway, between Chicago and Cincinnati, so we got a solid Indiana or Ohio. We've talked about this before. I think Odyssey is probably in Ohio, but that's just my opinion. Anyway, they hop on, they meet the porter, who doesn't seem suspicious quite yet, but he's gonna be. Or should I say, she's gonna be. I don't think I thought it was a girl the first time I listened to it, though. I was so confused the first time I listened to this episode. I think I was, like, 8. And I was just sitting there, mind absolutely blown to sleep because I had no idea what was happening. But, like, all the surprise is completely gone because I've listened to this so many times. But anyway. We meet the porter. We meet Lawrence Chalmers, who suspiciously reminds me of Richard Maxwell, not gonna lie. Like, I know Abby's not here. She's the one who usually talks about Richard, but, like, he reminds me of Richard so much. It's a little odd. Like, I know he's just a character, so maybe Eugene, like, decided that his character would be like Richard. I don't know. But he reminds me of Richard. And Eugene has some strong feelings about Lawrence Chalmers, which is so entertaining. And which just, like, Eugene, what is wrong with you? I love it. And then we meet the inspector, who is a fun character. His accent, even though it's fake, very exciting. I thought it was the coolest thing ever as a kid. And then we meet Margaret, who kind of annoys me, not gonna lie. But I got a little confused, because I guess, like, they all went to high school together. And we don't really know where Eugene went, but he wanted to go to the University of Chicago, but because of that one single grade in that one class. But, well, I guess it's all fake, because we know Eugene could have been top of his class, but he wasn't. But it wasn't actually because of the paper. I feel like Whit would have caught on to that pretty quickly. I don't know. It's definitely interesting. There's a lot of suspicious things happening that if you think about them for more than 5 seconds, you realize, oh, this is all fake. Eugene would never get a bad grade in a class, ever. Also, if he was actually in high school, that would make him, like, an actual child compared to Margaret and Lawrence at the time. And so then him and Margaret being a thing is actually so funny because it doesn't make any sense. I love that. I just thought of that one now. But it's kind of hilarious. I don't really know what else to talk about this episode. The mannequin convention? Love that. Why mannequins? I mean, I know because I had to throw the mannequin off the train, but it's so weird. I definitely thought, because I knew who Oscar Wilde was when I was a kid, that I was, like, so smart. I was like, I know what they're talking about. The Ballad of Reading Jail? I'm a genius. I wasn't a genius, I was just homeschooled, but that's okay. I also love that at any moment, anyone from the podcast could hop onto this recording and hear me talking to the recording bot and no one else. And they would be like, Hannah, what is wrong with you? And I'd be like, you didn't show up to recording. So I just decided to do it by myself. This is ridiculous. I don't even know if my mic is working since I'm driving. But we're just hoping for the best. Also, this drive is so pretty. Like, the trees are nice and orange and yellow and red, and it's stunning. Okay, I keep being distracted. Well, we see people struggling and a body fly off the train, like, hello. I guess that's why this is actually technically a Lost episode. That scared the crap out of me as a kid, let me tell you. I thought somebody actually died for a minute there. That's what spooked me out. I would, like, be listening to this episode, and it would be, like, dark outside, and I'd be in my room alone, and I was like, It scared me. That was the weirdest way to convey that I'm scared, but here we are. That's what happens when I have no one actually listening to me saying these words right now. I should never be allowed to do this again. The solo Hannah show is an awful idea. Moving on. So we see someone fly off the train, and Whit and the inspector run back there. And all they find is Margaret, who says Eugene threw Lawrence off the train. Which, I always thought Margaret threw Lawrence off the train because, like, Eugene would never. Also, I didn't really think he was physically capable of that. No offense, Eugene, but no. So, rest in peace, Lawrence, apparently. But yeah, also, Margaret is so shook. The acting in there is actually pretty good. I don't remember the actual person's name who isn't Margaret, but I'm not attending to her, I guess. So then we go looking for Eugene, and we can't find him anywhere, which is kind of funny. Like, where actually was he? I guess the inspector would have seen him, because he split up from Whit, so they made sure Whit didn't find him. But then, Margaret disappears too, and the window's open. Also, I thought that she had killed Lawrence and just jumped out of the train. Which is a morbid thought for a kid, but I guess this is kind of a morbid episode for kids, so. Makes sense, I guess. I don't know, man. So yeah. Goodbye, Margaret, as well. Big yikes. And then the porter is, like, throwing Eugene under the bus over here, and Eugene's like, he's high-key stressed. Love that. I would be stressed, too. I am stressed. Anyway, so then Whit's like, nice try, y'all. We're meeting up. And then he exposes everyone. Which, like, kudos to Whit for being a smart man. Because I would not have known. And then he makes fun of Eugene's acting skills, so, like, big rip to Eugene. It's kind of funny that he's in a drama club, but Whit thinks he's a bad actor. Oh, that was a pop. Anyway, Eugene thinks, or Whit thinks Eugene is a bad actor. And, it's kind of rude, not gonna lie, but it's also hilarious. And then Whit calls the cops on them and plays a prank on them, which is, like, so smooth and so sneaky of him. He really is so devious sometimes, like, we don't give him enough credit for that. But he pranks them real hard. They think they're going to jail. Shame on you, Whit. I think that's the end of Train Ride. I don't really know what else to say, other than scared the absolute crap out of me as a kid, for sure. Definitely thought Lawrence was dead. Definitely was scared for Eugene, thought he was, like, going to jail or something. Like, big yikes. And then you find out it's all fake, and you're like, whoa! That's why I listened to it a million times, because I had to listen to it that many times to figure out what was actually going on. So, the episode whose name takes a significant amount of effort for me to remember, not gonna lie. Someone just flipped me off. That was really rude. I didn't even do anything. Ouch. Okay, listening to Cars, Trains, and Motorcycles while you're driving also hits really different. It's kind of hilarious. Also, the tone shift from Train Ride to this is absolutely hysterical. Like, these two episodes could not be more different, other than the fact that it involves Whit and Eugene and Chicago, like, and trains. Those are the only common factors. Everything else is completely and wildly different. But I love it. So I guess I should do a summary of Cars, Trains, and Motorcycles, which, again, I'm not going to be reading it, just going to be making it up. I'm pretty sure Marshall Younger wrote it, though. So, like, props to him, because it's so funny. But summary. Penny has an art show in Chicago, so Wooten, Whit, Connie, and Eugene decide to travel up there for the day to support their friend, and they run into quite a few bumps along the way. I'm so good, I should write this up. Start out with Eugene saying that Connie is the least. Big classic right there. But then we get the real kicker. And that is that Whit is high on pain meds. And let me tell you, the first time I heard that, which this was only a few months ago, pretty recent. But the first time I heard that, oh, by the way, this is a club episode. You probably already know that, but I guess I should clarify. Whit's high. And it's kind of iconic because the first time I listened to this, I was like, are they actually doing this right now? Like, what in the world is happening? It's hilarious. I don't even know why they thought that was a good idea for a kid's show, but I am so here for it. We actually have a really hilarious part about this. It's quite old and it got quite out of control, so you probably shouldn't go look for it, but I'm not gonna stop you. It's from, like, May. You can scroll back real, real far. I'll take you a little bit. Anyway. So, Whit is a little loopy. Wooten is driving, but he's driving Mrs. Whose car is he driving? He's borrowing someone's European car, and he calls kilometers Kmarts, which is hilarious. And I'm dead. It's really just, I'm starting to run out of words. I need to stop and think. Oh, there's also people talking in the chat, so if someone hops on here, I'm gonna cry laughing now that I'm, like, halfway done. Anyway. Oh, Grace said, someone should talk about the plot hole in his prank of Eugene couldn't have been in the relationship with Margaret because he was 12. That's what I said, Grace. I love that we're on the same wavelength. Also, Cars, Trains, and Motorcycles, you should talk about how Buck is seeing a counselor, even if it's just a school counselor. You're right. Big kudos to AIO for actually letting Buck see a counselor. That's important! Very important. The kid was in juvie, like, he's got some stuff to work on. Plus, like, counseling is just a good thing in general. Go to counseling. It is kind of expensive. But, like, good for the soul right there. Anyway, thank you for the input, Grace. I'm glad I'm not doing this all by myself. I'm also trying not to take a wrong turn, so. Pardon my distraction. Ooh, that's an old... Anyway, I keep getting distracted. Something smells good. There's, like, an Asian restaurant, and it smells really good. maybe I'll be stopping there next time I make this drive. I'm so sidetracked right now. Can you finally edit this out, please? So cars, trains, and letters. We just started the road trip. I barely talked. Okay. So, Wooten called kilometers Kmart. And same. Also, he says they're going like 35. And he's like, am I going any fast? Like, am I going fast enough? Eugene's like, you should probably speed it up a little. And since I'm in my car, I can tell you that 35 kilometers is like 20 miles. So yeah, he was going real, real slow, and I love that. He's in charge of the food, which his idea of some good road trip snacks are straight up just like pretzels and like gummy worms and gummy bears. And I think he said something else gummy that was like really weird. And Eugene is like, please tell me you have some healthier options, man. And he's like, oh yeah, these couscous patties with like spinach and stuff. And Eugene and Connie sound pretty excited about it. And then he says, oh, you'll just have to pick off the gummy bears. And they're both like, oh. So love that for them. I also like how Eugene refers to it as fourth grade sleepover food. Because accurate. But also, like, if that's not what you're eating on a road trip, what's the point, really? Like, come on. This is what inspired the AIA road trip, which will hopefully be coming to the podcast near you summer 2021, but no promises. It's just it's a fun idea. We were trying to decide who would be the navigator, the driver, the entertainment coordinator, and also the prayer person who's actually just slightly high in the passenger seat. That sounded weird, but you know what I mean. I do have to get my wisdom teeth removed, though, so maybe I'll be the one to do it. Take one for the team right there. I lost my train of thought again. Really hard. One man show is just not the move for the podcast, let me tell you. I hope we don't actually post this episode because it's kind of tragic. I was gonna say it's kind of a train wreck, but that's too much of a terrible pun. But also, I kind of like puns, so someone stop me. Okay. So we have the classic junk food over here. We have Wit, who's supposed to pray, but he actually just wants to go to a tanning bed, also known as the glove box. And Wooten's like, you're not gonna fit in there. Connie's just like, please go to sleep, Wit. Also, he eats a popcorn ball, and I'm like, bro, why are you all letting him eat food? He just had a tooth removed. That's so bad. Could get like an infection or something. Unhealthy. 0 out of 10. We have Eugene, the navigator, who has everything down to like the second, which is just a lot of work, but do you expect anything less from Eugene? Absolutely not. And then Connie's the entertainment coordinator, but she's actually just like, you know what? I have so much homework, and I have never related to Connie more. Because same, I have my backpack of homework in the passenger seat next to me. I was doing it all during fall break. It was delightful. Absolutely lovely. So I feel her real hard. I relate. Also, Clint. Oh my gosh. Clint is by far one of the best parts of this episode. If there could even be a best part, because the whole thing is iconic. She is so salty at Eugene. I love it so much. One time we said we should add on to the Odyssey drinking game, which, not that there is an Odyssey drinking game, we drink lemonade in this game, of course, but every time they say Clinch in this episode, take a sip of that lemonade, baby, because they say it so much, it's hilarious. But yeah, Connie is so salty, and the whole crouton thing, like, what in the world? 16 croutons. That's a lot of croutons, man. Also, the fact that Clint was only gonna tip 10% before the croutons is freaking rude. Like, as someone who has worked in the food industry, please don't be that person. And definitely don't subtract the tip like that. Also very rude. Also, the fact that negative 6% was $3, that means the meal was like $50. So, like, I don't know what restaurant you went to for your blind dates, Connie, but it's, like, $25 a person there, so quite fancy for a college student. My goodness. I could never. So at least Clint was willing to pay the big bucks, even if he sucked as a person. But yeah, just that whole gag with Clint makes me laugh so hard. But it's kind of sweet that Eugene, like, wanted Connie. He knew that it would make her happy and knew that it would be a nice break from school for her, like, go on a date and, like, have a good time. I just think that is really sweet, even if he screwed up big time. Also, can you imagine if your professor or your teacher, like, set you up on a blind date with another student? Like, how freaking weird would that be? Like, obviously, Connie knows Eugene. But, like, Eugene is Clint's professor. How in the world did he set that up without just being weird? Like, if one of my professors did that, I would be so weirded out. Although, I can think of a few of them who would do it. So I should probably not make fun. But it's still hilarious. I can't deal with it. So they're driving along, having a good time. Whit becomes the entertainment coordinator because he's trying to make toast in the air vents, like, oh my. He says all kinds of great things. I love it. And Connie's talking to Penny and she's like, oh, I'm just doing homework. And Eugene's texting Katrina. Oh my gosh, Eugene wanting to be there with Katrina and Buck. So sweet. What a good dad. I love him. Too bad Emma's not here to gush over Eugene. He's a good dad in this. And a good friend. We stand Eugene Meltzer in this. For this car. Whatever. Anyway. They're driving along, and then they run out of gas because the car is malfunctioning horribly, apparently. And Wooten has to run it. Okay, also, Wooten talking about all the gummy things and just being Wooten in general and making people sing in the train car, like, Wooten gives off big Buddy the Elf energy from, like, the movie Elf. That's something I definitely wanted to mention. And, like, if you think about, like, what Wooten looks like and what Buddy the Elf looks like, I'm starting to wonder if there's some inspiration. So I'm pretty sure Wooten was invented as a character around the same time that movie came out. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but Wooten is Buddy the Elf. That's what I have to say about that. Also, Grace just texted me. I'm pretty sure she's making fun of me for recording by myself. But I can't answer because I'm not going to be opening my messages because that's not safe while you're driving, kids. Don't do that. But yeah, Wooten's Buddy the Elf. He comes back, he fills it up with gas again. Yay! And then they hit mega traffic, which Connie's like, where did all this traffic come from? I'm like, Connie, you're going to Chicago. You're going to a big city. You're from a big city. You should understand how traffic works. Like, come on, sister. What in the world? And Eugene didn't account for traffic in his calculations, like a fool. This is what happens when you all live in a small town. I would know from experience. So then they have to take the exit and run to get the train. And Wit's finally starting to come down off the pain pills, but not quite. He's still acting a little goofy. But they all get on the train, but they all end up in different cars. And Wooten starts a freaking sing-along over there. I love it. He's so funny. I'm trying to remember what else happens with Luton. He's like, we should have some lighthearted conversation. What do you think is holding you back from being the best person you could be? And the guy's just like, what in the world? Like, that is not a lighthearted question, Luton. Come on, man. Great. He really is like Buddy the Elf. Anyway, then you got Cookie and Eugene over here getting mistaken as a couple, which, classic Odyssey right there. We love to see it. And then they just argue some more about Clint, and also about how Connie is in a higher league than him, but Keith might think that he's in a higher league. They're just straight up bickering the whole time. I adore them. So good. And then we have Whit, who's freaking evangelizing to this motorcycle guy. The way he's like, your tattoo is inaccurate because it looks like it's supposed to be one of the seven angels from Revelation 8. the third angel that cast the star Wormwood into the sea, but your tattoo says Windwood, so it's a typo. And the guy's like, it's a butterfly, and it says Winnie, because that's my ex-girlfriend. And Wit's like, of course that's what would happen if Wit was high on pain meds. Like, I expect nothing less from the man, but what were they thinking when they wrote this? I want to know. Big question to Marshall Younger. Where did this idea come from? What was your thought process on this? So good. Anyway. So you got Wit over here, and by the end he's like, can I pray for you? And the guy's like, actually, yeah, that'd be great. And then he ends up riding the guy's motorcycle. And he's like, the guy's like, oh, I didn't know if he'd be scared. And Wit's like, this isn't my first time on a motorcycle. And I'm like, Wit, when were you last on a motorcycle? I would love to know. Indulge me. When did you ride a motorcycle last? Why did you ride a motorcycle? The idea of Wit on a motorcycle is just legendary, to be honest. Oh, and then you have Wit running freaking 12 blocks to get to the art museum. And when he says he needs to get rid of some extra weight, and then he throws the gummy bears in the trash, like, that's not usually what people mean by that, but okay. I guess it makes sense. Love him. He's such a dedicated husband, though, like, we just appreciate that. What a good, good man. Even if he is a little crazy. And then you have Connie and Eugene in the back of the Uber, which they won't say Uber, but we all know they mean Uber. And the Uber driver's forehead reminds Connie of Clint again, and she has to bring it up again because she's so salty. What the heck? I can't. And then they all finally get there, but they can't get inside. Just so unfortunate. And then Bruce, the motorcycle guy, is like, oh no, y'all are still good friends. And they're like, thank you, but also, who are you? Where did you come from? And then he, like, picks them up so they can see through the window? What? Must be a real, real buff guy, like, up here lifting everyone. What the heck? I just... The absurdity of this episode, really, like, the chaos, is just the biggest mood ever. I'm also afraid I'm gonna miss my turn, because I know it's coming soon, but it's okay. I'm not gonna miss it. Anyway, yeah, no, the sheer chaos of this episode is honestly the energy that we're looking for, which is why it's kind of sad that I'm recording this by myself, because chaos needed to be here. We'll probably end up re-recording about these episodes, honestly, like, this is kind of lame. I am not the best single host. But it's fine. Also, I thought of something else to say that I forgot what it was. Okay, but the way, like, Chris at the end is like, they're all good friends. Like, I don't know, just the, wouldn't think there's a moral conclusion with this. But then you get to the end and it's like, no, they're all just really good friends to each other. It's really sweet, actually, like, Eugene cared about Connie, he tried to, like, do something that he thought would make her happy, and, like, they're all going, driving whoever knows how many hours to see Penny's art exhibit, like, they're putting in all the effort. It's so nice to see, like, good friendships. Like, that's not something you get to see in media most of the time, which is why I really appreciate seeing it, and honestly, like, they really went there. They said, good adult friendships are important. So here they are. I love it. So nice. Oh, also, the music in this episode is so good. It, like, reminds me of some kind of, like, 90s sitcom kind of thing. And it's so fun. It's, like, the perfect vibe for the episode. And, like, would not mind hearing some more of that tunage in other episodes. Also, I just realized you probably heard my turn signal and it was very distracting and I apologize. Also, now I'm on a stretch of road that is very, very bumpy and you can probably hear that too. So if the sound quality is tragic, I'm so sorry. But yeah, good tunes, good conclusion, good friendships. I feel like this is an episode that makes you go, wow, I love Odyssey. At least that's what it does for me. It also reminds me of I Slap Floor, but everyone's actually in character, which makes it 10 times funnier. Like, I don't think there's a single moment of this episode that I don't spend laughing. Because it's just so good. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about this. Well, thank you all for joining this episode of Adventures in Absurdity. I hope it wasn't too boring for you with just me hanging around. But if you really listened to all of this, thank you. We appreciate you a whole lot. We love all of our listeners. And if y'all ever want to email us or, like, message us on Tumblr or Instagram, like, please do. We'd love to hear from you. And I believe next week we'll be talking about the Rydell Revelation. So that's going to be nice and exciting. A little heated, maybe, but some fun conversation is definitely going to come out of that. Oh, more bums. Oh, no. Anyway. Thanks for listening to Adventures in Absurdity, and have a great day, or night, or whatever time it is. I'm gonna stop recording now, okay, bye.
Moments later.
Also, finally, the bumpy part's gone. Maybe I should re-record the ending just in case. It was so bad. Thank you so much for listening to Adventures in Absurdity. Thanks for tuning in to Just Hannah. Hope you enjoyed my strange rambling. Next week we'll be talking about the Rydell Revelations, which is very exciting. So yeah, thanks for listening. We appreciate you. God bless.
So, disclaimer, we're also not affiliated with Focus on the Family, by the way. Please don't ever think that.
Today's episode was brought to you by Aram, the recording bot.
We're Chaos!
Goodbye!